Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this evening is the gospel reading that I read earlier from Luke chapter 23. I'd like to highlight two portions of that. First of all, the beginning of verse 43, where Jesus responds and says, "Truly I say to you," Jesus says, "For behold, the days are coming." And then verse 43, where Jesus responds and says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. Tonight, in the beautiful rhythm of the church year, we begin the season of Lent, a time to reflect and repent, a time to pray and to praise, a time to recall and rejoice in our Lord Jesus as he humbly moves toward the cross and his powerful victory from the grave. During our midweek services this year, we are going to follow our Savior's journey as it is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. And the theme of this series of sermons, as I said earlier, is a statement against all those who tortured, ridiculed, beat, and crucified Jesus. A statement of judgment against all of us as sin-filled human beings, declaring this: "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." I'd like all of you to consider this truth as we begin tonight. Evil often is louder than good. In news outlets, in fact, they have a saying that says, "If it bleeds, it leads." That is, you take a story that is sensational or even bloody, and you make that the main story. Why? Because it catches people's attention. Evil often is louder than good. Another example, criticism, negative comments. Those tend to be more powerful, louder, you could say, to us than compliments or positive remarks. We remember the complaint or the criticism or the insult against us far longer, often replaying them over and over again, long after the kindness or the affirmation that someone gave to us has faded. And this is why so many people look and act like they are carrying around a whole truckload of negativity in life. Because evil often is louder than good. And this is true in our reading tonight from Luke 23. In verse 35, we find the rulers, that is of the Sanhedrin, scoffing at Jesus. Now, literally, the Greek might more accurately be translated to say, they kept on continually scoffing. Because when evil speaks, it is loud and long in its sin. The irony, though, is that without even realizing it, these Jews even declare things that are true about Jesus as he hangs there on the cross. They say it with a taunting tone, but it is true. Jesus is God's Messiah, his Christ, his chosen one. But they completely miss the object of his saving work. He is not there to save himself, but to die for all people. The rulers can't even see this in their unbelief. All they can do is scoff and ridicule so loudly. And then there are the soldiers, that is, the troops under Roman control. They are the executioners that actually killed Jesus and the two criminals. And they know the charge that Pilate has finally settled on, the charge that is against this perfectly innocent man, the only truly innocent man ever. His charge is written on a piece of wood and posted over Jesus' head. King of the Jews. But that's not enough. In their blindness of sin, they can't just let the sign speak for itself. They are compelled to mock the truth that it declares. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Like any true king should be able to do, they would say. Laughter, mockery, insults, loud, evil words. And then there's more. Even one of the suffering and dying criminals actually finds the strength to rail at Jesus, to blaspheme him, continually saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Well, aren't you? Do something." I wonder how the rulers and the soldiers actually reacted when one of the men who was dying beside Jesus joined them in all of the noise and mockery against him. They had already taken his clothes. Jesus had no earthly dignity left. And now this criminal's voice adds to the clamor. It's loud and it's long and it's evil. The way that evil often is. But then there is one more voice in the midst of it all. He speaks to his fellow criminal. And then he speaks to Jesus. This solitary voice speaks not out of blindness or ignorance or hatred or mockery. This is a believing voice that speaks honesty and truth and hope. Those three things, honesty, truth, and hope. We need to listen then carefully to this voice, to the believing criminal, to understand what he said in faith that stands out among all of the noise around him. And then Jesus answers him. You see, up to now, Jesus hasn't replied to any of that other noise. But he speaks to this man. And we must listen carefully to Jesus' voice, even though it's been over 2,000 years. Because he promises here a gift. This believer, yes, that's what we have to call him. This believer speaks first to his fellow criminal. Now, we have no idea what these two have done, whether they are partners in crime or they just happen to end up in this place at the same time to die. But it doesn't matter. This voice of faith is first of all astonishingly honest about himself and his fellow criminal. Do you not fear God? All of the other unbelievers around him are ignorant. They have no idea that something big is going on here, something mysterious. God's justice is at work, and even more. The criminal goes on, "Look, you and I are dying here because we deserve what we are getting. But this man in between us has done nothing wrong." Now, technically, those words don't prove that this guy is a believer. But how does he know that Jesus is innocent? He's right, of course. He's very right. And he's been hearing the evil voices around him saying things that are actually true. If you are the Christ, if you are the King, and indeed Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is not only King of the Jews, he is King over everyone. And the fact that this perfectly innocent King is now dying on a cross? Talk about injustice. It's the believing criminal's next words, though, that really show the depth of his faith. And don't forget, this isn't the first time that Luke tells us about God working a powerful faith in someone that we might think is an unlikely believer. There was the centurion back in chapter 7 with the servant that was sick unto death. Even Jesus was amazed, saying of this one Gentile that he had never seen a faith like this, not even in any of the sons of Abraham. There's also the sinful woman who is so moved by Jesus' mercy that she loves him to the point of anointing his feet and wiping them with her hair. And of course, there is the woman with a chronic bleeding problem. And who can forget the short, rich tax collector that everyone hated? And yet Jesus called to him in the tree and said, "Come down, for I must stay at your house today." When Jesus said it, today was an unexpected day. No one saw that coming. None of us could have seen it. But for Zacchaeus, today was the day of salvation for him. Now back to the cross. Does this criminal really know who Jesus is? Does he believe that Jesus dying on the cross can still be the king? Yes, he does. He speaks the truth. In the full hope of faith, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, this man knows that Jesus is the king, surrounded by evil, yes, with evil destroying both his and Jesus' flesh even. And yet he clearly knows that because Jesus is the King of Kings, this will not be the end of Jesus. Because he is God's true king, no evil anywhere can stop God's plan through him as God's chosen one. In fact, this criminal even knows that the day will come when this king will undo all evil, will overthrow all injustice, will put the world right, and then come into the glory of his eternal kingdom. Even while he is dying, this believing criminal looks for that day. "Remember me, Jesus, on that day," is the man's cry. "I deserve everything I am getting, but you can save me, Jesus." That's the truth. That's the hope of every true believer. My dear friends, you and I have the privilege of reading Luke's gospel so that we see how Jesus puts real substance, real promise to this criminal's words of faith. It was only the night before in the upper room, Jesus promised the apostles who would soon betray him and run away that he would restore them after he was raised from the dead. Jesus promised that he would remember them, saying, "That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This promise from Jesus to his apostles, it points them to that day, to the same day of final victory over evil and death, to which the criminal on the cross is now pointing us. But how? How could this believing criminal know all of this? Except that God has revealed it to him here at the end of his life. And all he has to do to show his faith is say, "Jesus, remember me." And Jesus will. On that day, the day of Jesus' remembering, this convicted yet believing criminal will have a place at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, at the same table with all of the apostles that Jesus promised the night before as well. So what do we see there next to Jesus? Honesty. He knew what he deserved. Truth. He believed who Jesus is. And hope. He looks forward to the day. But there's more. Just like with Zacchaeus, Jesus answers that man's faith with the gift of one power-packed word. Today, Just look at Christmas, for example, in Bethlehem before the shepherds expected it. Today, there has been born for you in the city of David a Savior. And so for this criminal who trusted that the true king beside him would remember him on that great day, Jesus gifts him with the greatest gift of all. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Paradise is the place of rest and safety. Spending eternity in the presence of the living God. That very day, at the moment of death, this believing criminal's body and soul is torn apart for a time. That's what death does to us. In fact, it's what happened to Jesus as well in the great mystery of the death of the Son of God. But during that time, paradise, perfect rest, safety, and peace, is what the believer, what all believers experience as he, as they, as we continue to wait for the great day. My dear friends, listen to that same voice of faith, not unbelief, even and especially as evil is all around you. Yes, even when your own evil wants to rise up and close your ears to it, and you go, la, 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 I can't hear the truth. The world is filled with mockers and scoffers right now today. Their voices can seem so loud. It can feel like the noise will just crush you. But we have seen the strange and unexpected salvation of our God here in Holy Scripture. Here in His Passion, we see the evil come against Jesus and physically crush Him. But it isn't successful. In His victory, death and evil have been undone. And so in faith, we wait both with the church on earth and with the church at rest. We wait for Jesus to come into His kingdom with all of His glory. The world, the devil, fills our ears with sounds of impatience, doubt, mockery, and more. Don't listen to it. Let that quiet voice instead, the voice of faith, one cross over from Jesus long ago, shape and guide you today in how you think and speak with honesty and truth and hope. Speak honestly in the difficulty in death that you face every day. We are getting what we deserve if we were left to our own goodness and strength. This is what our sin truly deserves, and we must be honest about it. But then speak truth to yourself and out loud to others. The truth about Jesus, the true King. Speak of how, although He is the King of Kings, He emptied Himself and became obedient to God's plan, salvation plan, to the point of death. And yet, even in death, His kingship did not end. So that the great today of Easter has claimed the today of your salvation as well. And let your voice speak of the unshakable hope that you have. The hope that is built and based upon the glorious King. He is the King that cannot and will not forget you as His beloved on that great day of His return. And so we wait in faith, confident that the clamor of evil will not have its way with us, because the truth of Jesus and His promises of both today and that day cannot and will not ever change. We live here And we live now in the certain hope of our today in paradise. And the day when Jesus brings us into his eternal kingdom forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forevermore. Amen.